From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns concludes the last of three messages entitled, Four Steps in Spiritual Warfare, Lessons in How God Prepared Gideon to Win a Great Victory Over the Midianites. First, Gideon proved God in the matter of the fleece. Then it was the Lord who proved Gideon by greatly reducing the size of Israel's army. Next, God encouraged his servant by allowing him to overhear a dream experienced by a Midianite soldier forecasting victory for Israel. In the fourth step, God enabled Gideon to achieve an overwhelming victory using 300 men equipped only with trumpets and pitchers containing lamps. Of particular importance is the breaking of the pitchers to let the lights shine. Brokenness before God is a prerequisite of being used by him. Finally, each man stood in his place and cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." It was the Lord who gave the ultimate victory. In these four steps, we see a picture of revival. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Necessary Knowledge. The text is found in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 30. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. To be the Lord's own people is a choice blessing, but to know that we are such is a comfortable blessing. It is one thing to hope that God is with us, and another thing to know that he is so. Faith saves us, but assurance satisfies us. We take God to be our God when we believe in him, but we get the joy of him when we know he is ours and that we are his. No believer should be content with hoping and trusting. He should ask the Lord to lead him on to full assurance, so that matters of hope may become matters of certainty. It is when we enjoy covenant blessings and see our Lord Jesus raised up for us as a plant of renown that we come to a clear knowledge of the favor of God toward us. Not by law, but by grace do we learn that we are the Lord's people. Let us always turn our eyes in the direction of free grace. Assurance of faith can never come by the works of the law. It is an evangelical virtue and can only reach us in a gospel way. Let us not look within. Let us look to the Lord alone. As we see Jesus, we shall see our salvation. Lord, send us such a flood tide of thy love that we shall be washed beyond the mire of doubt and fear.
Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, oh.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Old-fashioned preachers used to preach a lot about God's people being broken. We don't hear much of that nowadays. We're such a self-confident bunch. Not much wonder we know little or nothing of the power of God. Every man that God has ever used has been brought to the place of brokenness before God. Not an empty emotion, though his emotions have been involved, but a place of absolute self-surrender, a place where he sold out to God, and all that he holds dear in the flesh is crushed. Broken. That picture has to be broken. Coming to an end of yourself and your pride and your greatness. And then they held the lamps. You see that? You cannot hold the lamp for anybody to see the light until the picture's broken. But when it is broken, the lamp of testimony shines clearly and plainly. And then the cry, verse 20, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I like this part. The Midianite soldier had said, this is nothing but the sword of Gideon. He was wrong. Gideon put it right. This is nothing but the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I want to tell you it's a wonderful thing, and you can stand confidently when the sword of the Lord is yours. When God's word becomes my word, when this blessed word that God has given is not just a book in my hand, not just something to talk about, but it becomes my word. It's something that is personal and precious and useful. Not only so, but when what you have to say to men is what God says to men, then you're on the way to victory. You're on the way to being useful. That's one of the great and terrible deficiencies of our day. The Church of Christ has been sidetracked. People come to talk to ministers. They come to get advice on this and that and the other thing. And all they get is third-hand psychology. What is needed is for the Church of Christ again to be able to give men what God says. If I had time tonight, I'd be very tempted to put this in a theological framework. One of the great theological misconceptions of Romanism is its basic belief of the autonomy of man. Put it in theological language, the ultimacy of man. He will believe in a God who complies with his reason. He will not subject his reason to the God who stands above it. The autonomy of man. Evangelical Protestantism has largely followed Romanism. Our fundamental churches have done the same. You hear so much about the free will of man. Man, almighty man. God has to speak in a way that men approve. The Bible is altogether different. Reformed Protestantism is altogether different. It was Cornelius Van Til who put it this way. We must learn to think God's thoughts after him. When you learn to think that way, you're thinking straight. We must learn to speak God's word after him. In other words, we do not go to the ungodly world and meet them on some common neutral ground. No, sir, we go to a world that's dead in sin. We are not going to accommodate our God to the world. We're going to go to that world and we're going to say to them, thus saith the Lord. And I tell you, when you can give men from your mouth what God says to those men, you will see God begin to work. Of course, that's more than knowing texts. That's knowing God again. Just to be able to use the word. How often this has happened? I was reading of a young minister who went to his new church. The whole town was very interested to see what was going to happen, because the town skeptic was there and he was going to engage them in great philosophical debate. The young minister came along and he preached on Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. At the end of the meeting, the skeptic said, I don't believe that. The minister just looked at him between the eyes and he said, it is appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. He said, I don't believe in any judgment. Well, it's still appointed unto man once to die. And after this the judgment. He said, the trouble with you, the skeptic said, the trouble with you is you're such a fool you don't even know enough to be able to argue the point. The minister said, that may well be true. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Skeptic went on his way, fuming and cursing this nitwit of a new preacher that they had, who had learned so little logic, so little philosophy, so little theology, that he could not even defend his position. All he could do was, like a child, to repeat a scripture text. Fuming, he made his way home. Angry, he went to bed. He closed his eyes, but not to sleep. And just like you've often, if you've ever traveled by rail, you've heard the wheels churn out a message as they go along the iron. He could hear those wheels rumbling in his mind. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And in the middle of the night, demented under conviction of sin, he went rattling on the door of that fool of a preacher. And he said, "Preacher, I cannot get that out of my head." That night the skeptic became a saint, because a man knew God well enough to be able to speak what God was speaking. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Then they stood, verse 21, every man in his place, and they saw the salvation of the Lord. They stood and they saw God work. That's a picture, if I may spiritualize it, that's a picture of revival. We're all used to those revivals that you can stick a little sign up by the side of the road and say, "Revival, half a mile, 7 o'clock tonight." God help his church when all it knows is to call such an effort revival. But what is revival? Revival is when God brings us this way, where we prove him. He proves us. He encourages us. And he fills us with his power. And we can stand back, not as mere onlookers, as you'll see from the sequel. But we stand back as worshippers to see what God hath wrought. Four great stages in spiritual warfare. Men and women, we are in the battle, or we ought to be. Every Christian is an enlisted soldier in the army of God's Christ. I trust tonight that the Lord will bring you this way. Very simple. You can understand everything I've said. It's very simple, but it's very profound. Will you pray with me tonight? Lord, I'm just a Gideon. But I am a Gideon, saved by grace, washed by blood. Here I am, Lord, poor, weak, insignificant and helpless. I want to prove you, and I'm willing for you to prove me and encourage me and strengthen me and fill me and use me. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice led? Simple question. But what's the answer? Make sure tonight, you who name the name of Christ, make sure tonight that you don't go from this place till you know before your God, Lord, I belong to you. Take me. Fill me. Use me outside the camp, breaking the pitcher for the glory of your name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our God and Father, God of Gideon, lead us the way that thou didst lead thy servant. There's not one amongst us tonight, Lord, who doesn't need to prove thee for himself. We confess, Lord, that many of us, preacher included, need to be proved by God. Certainly, Lord, we need to be forgiven. So many things have come between us and the Lord. Separation from the world and sin, so easily broken down. We're more interested in keeping the pitcher whole and being broken at the feet of Christ to let the light shine. So, Lord, we need thee to deal with us tonight. Need thee, Lord, to work in our hearts. We need thee to take these lives and conform them to the image of Christ, to use them in the battle for truth. Bless thy word, O God, and give abiding and lasting fruit in the lives of all who have gathered here this evening. Speak to those who are losing their first love. Speak to people here tonight who have a name to live, but there's not much sign of life. They have a profession of faith. But, oh God, there's not much obedience to thee. Speak to young men who have been more interested in pursuing a career than pursuing Christ, whose ear is more tuned to the raucous sounds of the world than it is to the still small voice of the Spirit of God. Lord, speak to young men in this meeting tonight and set apart many a Gideon. Speak to young women. Do the same for them. Speak to fathers and mothers. O God, our Father, we certainly need thee to come and work in us and through us. We long for the day that we shall be able to stand still and see the salvation of God. We long for the coming of revival. We plead with thee for the gracious outpouring of the Spirit in his fullness. O God, let it come, we pray thee. Deal with us to make us instruments in the work and not hindrances to the work. Part us with thy blessing. Humble us under the mighty hand of God. Fill us with thy Spirit. Take us up and use us till the Saviour either calls us home or comes in glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.